Our gospel this morning is the parable of the Good Samaritan found on Luke 10, 25 to 37. Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now, by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" he asked. The lawyer replied, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." May God add his blessing to the reading of our word. This next step is very frightening to me because my printer died this morning. And we're doing laptop surveys, which to the young people sitting in the back of the room is not a big deal at all. I had to do a lot of praying just to stand here. Today's gospel reading about the Good Samaritan is really about being disciples. You may think, well, okay, but I don't have any special training. I'm no biblical scholar, and well, actually, I may not be the right one for the job. You need to find a better person. But that's not the way God sees us. He's looking for good neighbors. Ever since I was a little girl, I've had this image of what it's like to go to heaven. My Grammy would always talk about crossing over. And I'm really not surprised. When she passed away, she was 107. And she'd probably been hoping for quite some time to be crossing over. And so I thought, maybe you go by boat crossing a river. And I would visualize lots of old people, mostly the Wrinkle City crowd, in a boat, like that picture of George Washington crossing the Delaware, all of us standing in the bow of the boat looking across to the far shore. I imagined that when we got there, we'd magically float up on a cloud to the pearly gates at the entrance of heaven, where St. Peter would be waiting to decide if we'd been good enough to get into heaven. I see it a little differently now. Now I know it's because he lives that I live. But how we live matters to God too. We're the family of God, and he wants us to give the knowledge of his love to everyone. The early Methodists believe in Christian living, on putting faith in love into action. John Wesley called it practical divinity. We call it being a neighbor. That's where Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan told by Luke comes in. Luke was actually a medical doctor who traveled as a companion with Paul. Paul called him a beloved companion, which means in those days, a very good friend. It's believed he wasn't a Jew, but actually a Gentile. His is the only chapter in the Bible that tells us well-loved stories like the prodigal son the Good Samaritan, and Zacchaeus, the tax collector. Luke wanted us to know that Jesus spoke to the outcasts, the poor. He presented Jesus as the one shared by all people of all classes, and that all of us could be redeemed. His is the book about love. Our story of the Good Samaritan starts out with a thinly veiled debate between a temple lawyer and Jesus. Now, lawyers today work in the field of civil and criminal law. In Jesus' day, they were experts on the law of Moses and the state of Israel. Jesus had been stirring up a lot of people and actually making no small impact in the communities around them. The lawyer was hoping to expose Jesus as an amateur. After all, he had no formal earthly training in religion. He was just a humble carpenter and maybe a pretty good speaker. And so the lawyer asked, "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus, being the great teacher, asked a question to answer the question. He asked, "What's written in the law? What's your reading of it?" In other words, you are the expert, duh. The lawyer replied, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Jesus said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." Jesus always supported the words of the prophets, and he knew the lawyer was not being fair. He wasn't surprised when the lawyer, wanting to justify himself, asked another question. "And who is my neighbor?" As if to say, "Love my neighbor. Okay, well, which ones? Surely you can't mean everybody." So Jesus answers his question by telling a story with a message. We call them parables, one of his greatest gifts to us. He told about a Jew who went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he really meant down. This was about a 17-mile trip with a very rocky, very steep, hazardous descent. And it was desolate, and it was hot, with plenty of caves for robbers to hide in and descend on unsuspecting travelers. The perfect place for an ambush. Jesus goes on to say the man was mugged, beaten by robbers who stole his money, took all his things, even his clothes, and left him for dead on the roadside. By chance, a priest came down the road. This priest knew how dangerous the road was and was probably terrified that the thieves were still out there. If he were going to Jericho, he was most likely coming home from serving his 1 week a year at the big temple in Jerusalem. Just a humble priest from Jericho who had been to the big city and probably couldn't wait to get home. And when he saw the man, he crossed to the other side and just passed by. Then came along a Levite, a helper, a temple assistant to the priest. And he too crossed the road to the other side and continued on down the incline. Both were professional church people, you'd say, who taught the law of Moses and the prophets, and yet they left a dying man all alone on the road. At this point, I'm sure the beaten man would be feeling that his life on earth was nearing an end. Maybe thinking, "Is anyone out there who'll stop? Doesn't anybody care?" Have you ever felt like that? At the end of your rope, alone, scared, hoping for a kind hand, help from somebody, somebody who cared. Then a Samaritan comes upon the man who was probably near death at this point. The story would have shocked those who heard it, since Samaritans were despised by the Jews. They basically believed a good Samaritan was a dead Samaritan. And Samaritans felt the same way. There's a lot of bad history between them. But this Samaritan instantly feels compassion for him and goes to him. That word compassion means I feel your pain. A real compassionate person doesn't just feel compassion, he shows it. Just like the Lord has compassion for his children. He didn't just feel for us. He showed us with his son on the cross. Given for us. So the Samaritan bandages the traveler's wounds, pouring on oil and wine, very expensive in those days, gently helps him on his donkey and leads him to the inn, where he continues to care for him. The next day he gave the innkeeper 2 denarii, about 2 pieces of silver, or in our days, about 2 days' wages, to continue to help the injured man. He told the innkeeper that he would return. He gave him money and said, please, anything else that's needed, restore him to health, and I will pay you when I return. At the end of the story now, Jesus asked the lawyer, which of the 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell upon thieves? The lawyer said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. Luke wanted us to hear this parable because he believed it's important to understand about true love, God's kind of love, not ours. We can all be disciples by being compassionate, by being good neighbors. But are we supposed to love everybody? I mean, everybody? He smells. She's dirty. He's an addict. She cut me off on the highway. He took my parking spot. They don't go to church. And here are the hard ones, very hard ones. He's a murderer. He's a terrorist. One thing they're not my neighbors. What does God expect us to do? Love them all? You see, denying our neighbor mercy, our enemies especially, is much more than not helping. It's denying God. The Lord dwells within us and tells us that what we do for the least of these, we do for him. Jesus, in every case, is right there. When we're broken down and life is weighing heavy on us and we have no way to save ourselves, he doesn't pass by. Who will save us? Who will take care of our healing, comfort us? Jesus. The Son of God laid down his life to save us. He was the ultimate good Samaritan. He came to give hope to the homeless, the lost, the lonely, the outcast, the loser. He came for you and me. This is mercy. Mercy, love and kindness in action. And as neighbors, disciples, we can give hope. We can pour out God's mercy on them like oil and wine, whatever it takes to care for our neighbors. So, who is our neighbor? God's children. In other words, everybody. And who was a good neighbor to him? As Jesus said, the one who showed him mercy, go and do likewise. Not to earn our inheritance of eternal life or to justify our pride, but simply because ours has to be a life of mercy. We breathe in Christ's love and mercy through his word and the sacraments, and we breathe out his love and mercy to our neighbors. He says, love one another, all of them. Last month, I represented our church at the New England Annual Conference in New Hampshire. Each regional conference, like ours, reports once a year to the General Conference of the United Methodist Church. We send delegates to speak for us at the General Conference on all sorts of important issues. In New Hampshire, we voted on these delegates and the recommendations they bring from us to the General Conference. We heard the reports of many parts of our United Methodist Church family, like finance, apportionments, stewardship, education, and especially spreading God's love through missions here and throughout the world. I was overwhelmed with the scope of that love. We also had Bible study and music. I can't even describe the feeling of singing Amazing Grace in a conference of over 900 fellow Christians. It gives you goosebumps. You never forget it. We also had some serious things to discuss about the inclusion of all parts of the body of Christ, about looking at sensitive issues such as the wording and the discipline and the rights of our fellow Christians, including our brothers and sisters of the LGBTQ community. These were heart-wrenching discussions, but through it all, our Bishop Devadar was kind, patient, and loving to everyone who spoke. And in the end, I must tell you that although beliefs were still divided on some issues, what never wavered was our love for one another and our belief that each person of our church family, including those of the groups we were discussing, must have and would always have our love. I witnessed a commission, a lovely lady going as a missionary to Brazil. And at dinner one night, I met a young woman named Christy. 13 years before, she had just finished divinity school and was ready to begin her life as a pastor. Shortly after, her son was born with an illness so severe that it required her deep attention for many years. He is now much better, and she has not regretted for a moment giving her life to her son. But during that time, she felt called to serve somehow, so she volunteered at her town's local homeless shelter, where she eventually became coordinator of helping folks with finding employment, homes, clothing, anything and everything to give them back their lives. She told me she would finally, after 13 years, be ordained the next morning. She said all who are to be ordained meet with the bishop, and then after meeting with her, he decided she should continue her work with the homeless, as well as being a pastor in her local church. As I watched the bishop, along with other bishops, lay his hand on her at her ordination, I realized the power of God's plan in our lives. He had a plan for her. And now she shares his love with the most vulnerable of his children. In the end, love matters most, sharing that love from God to the world. The good news is that while we can never do enough to inherit eternal life, we have our Good Samaritan who has given and done all so that we might inherit the kingdom. That's grace. We don't need a defense attorney on the day of judgment. We've been saved by grace through faith, with faith in a Savior who has loved us. So we must love with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength that we might know his perfect love forever in his neighborhood. As the late, wonderful Mr. Rogers often said, it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Won't you be my neighbor? Amen.